1039 WDKX. Hey, it's your girl Jazzy T, and we're getting ready for an evening of youth excellence with Mentors Inspiring Boys and Girls, also known as MIB. They present the School to Prison Pipeline Play that's happening at East High this Saturday. And joining me right here in the studio today, I have Miss Tanisha Allen. I also have Sienna and Malia, and they are here to talk to us a little bit about the show and the program. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
So, Miss Tanisha, can you tell us a little bit about your role in the mentorship program and how it's impacting the community?
So I am the assistant director under Robert Riggs, and we work alongside with Takesha Brinson also. We work with youth basically from ages 4 up until 18. We do have a couple of kids who are older than that because they don't want to be home. They're looking for something to do, and we give them something to do Monday through Friday, 2 to 8 p.m.
And I feel like when I saw a performance for Touch the Sky, you had some girls come and they delivered a powerful performance. And I was like, wow, what a great way for us adults to hear directly from the youth. What kind of things are you going through and how is it impacting you? So, Sienna, I know, so you were shaking your heads. You were one of the performers at that event?
Yeah.
Both of you were?
Yes.
And so how does that make you feel to perform in front of a group of, you know, like older people who may be a little bit out of touch? Like, what does that mean to you?
I just feel like that it touches me in a different way because since I'm so young and like our generation is so crazy, and nowadays it's more so that like older people don't really listen to the younger generation and they use what they know because they've been on the earth longer than us. They use what they know and just try to like push it on us. But I feel like when I speak and I actually do these monologues and just perform in front of people, it helps me a lot to get my word out as a child.
Yeah, and you mentioned something, you know, as far as how your generation is crazy. That's your words, not mine. And I feel for you, and I don't understand a lot of stuff. Like, I try to teach my child. I have a high schooler, and then I have a first grader. And it's like the stuff that they go through, I've never went through. If there was a bully, I only had to deal with them Monday through Friday, 9 to 3. It wasn't constantly on social media. So can you tell me a little bit about why you got involved with the program and what it means to you?
I got involved with the program because I feel like when I first got there, so Tanisha's my cousin.
Okay.
So when I first got there, I think I was like, what, 8? And I didn't really get the concept of the program and what we were doing there until I got older to, like, let's say maybe 10. That's when I started doing more things and being put in extra stuff and stuff that had more meaning and messages to give out. And now that I'm doing those things, I'm understanding what's going on. And the more you understand and the messages that you're given is the more the messages will relay on the other people and they'll understand it more, because the more you believe it is the more they'll believe it. So I feel like it just helps me learn more to teach other people exactly what I'm learning.
No, that's a great point, because you have to be able to believe what you're portraying to other people. And so you mentioned monologues a couple of times, and I know that's something that you have performed at, for instance, the Touch the Sky event and some other events as well. Explain to people how you do that, because it's not like a boring Shakespeare, you know, just get up there and say something. Like, there's dance involved, there's acting involved. Tell me more.
Okay, so for me, I do a lot of monologues, and I do like dance, and we do step. But I feel like the thing that touches me the most is dance.
Okay.
Because I've been dancing since I was 2 years old, and I feel like that was, like, my mom always told me it was a God gift sent to me. And I believe that because I feel like when I dance, I touch a lot of people around me and just the people I perform in front of.
What kind of dance do you do?
I used to do tap, but I do modern, jazz, hip-hop, ballet.
Wow. All right, so let's go and talk about the play specifically. Tanisha Allen, as the assistant director for the MIBNG, the play is called School to Prison Pipeline, formerly Breaking the School to Prison Pipeline. Give us the general consensus of what is the play about? Because the byline says, illustrate the discrimination in the American education system. But can you put that into context for us?
Yes. So basically what it is, the play itself, because the entire performance is broken down into two pieces, but the play is the second half. So the play is just touching on the racial inequalities, I should say.
Okay.
That African Americans and minorities in general face in education and the judicial system, everything. And so it's basically speaking about if these kids don't get the right education and the right teachers and the right mentoring, they're going to end up behind a jail cell. Mm. So all those decisions that they make as youth and all those things that they do in school, it affects them later on in life. So if they're not doing the right things in school, their prison and inmate number has already been assigned to them.
Wow.
And the reality is it was assigned when they were born. So they have to break that pipeline. If they don't break that pipeline, they're going to jail and may never see the light of day again.
So Malia, I know you mentioned that you go to school in the suburbs. So in the suburbs, a lot of times my own children have seen the same thing where you might have a white student do something, get a slap on the wrist. You have a black student do the same thing. And what happens in your experience?
That completely and absolutely happens in my school. I mean, to see it in person is very different than talking about it, because from being in a city district school to moving to a suburban school just this year, everything is like coming to me. It's different curriculars, different teachers, and seeing like how a certain student could do the same thing as a student of my color, and we get completely two different consequences. It amazes me because I think that, like, equal rights.
Yeah.
So if
you do the crime, you do the time. You should. Yeah.
There shouldn't be no discounted punishment if we're doing the exact same thing.
And it's interesting because in 2020, during the whole Black Lives Matter movement, there was, you know, everyone was out and they were marching and there was a declaration, and the school district in question said that these are the things that we're going to change and we're not going to, you know, continue on. But here we are. Now, you said this is your first year in the district and it sounds like it's still happening. So when people come to the show on Saturday at East High School, what do you hope that they walk away with? And we can start with you, Sienna, and then I want to have everyone answer that. But Sienna, from the perspective from dance and monologue and being with the program for so long, a product of the School of the Arts, what do you hope to share with people?
I just hope to share that, like, kids are the most powerful thing, like, now and I feel ever, because it's so much stuff a kid could do and so much stuff that, like, we can accomplish and just make it look really good and convey a message. And I like how, like, the play and just the whole production as a whole, I like how we tell a message throughout the whole thing, and I like how everybody can show who they are. Mm-hmm. And without being judged or without being mistreated, because we all family, we're all one. So it's like we might as well work together and make it get done.
Yeah. Yeah. Miss Allen, is there a main theme that people will walk away like, wow, I never really thought about that?
So the main theme that I think that they will get from this production on Saturday is that they will realize that inequalities really do exist, and these kids and their movements and their actions are going to show you how they really feel and what they really think.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know these inequalities exist. And whereas they were afraid to express them, we allow them to express them. And you'll see, like, when you see them on the stage, you're not going to be in one spot, because they want the audience to feel what they're feeling. Mm. So they all put their own emotions into it. So we give them words on paper, but they make those words their own.
Yeah.
So you're going to hear about it, and you're going to hear that message over and over and over. Black, 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 black. And it's just because black are underrated, but these kids are going to show you that they're not your average little black kids.
Mm. Yeah. And Malia, as one of the main characters in the School to Prison Pipeline play, which is coming to East High School on Saturday, you play Izzy. Tell me a little bit about that role.
So Izzy is to be portrayed as, she's a problematic, loud, kind of like a typical, stereotypical black girl, talking to this boy, that boy, always in arguments. And to get into that character, knowing that's like not me. You got to separate yourself from the character.
Yeah.
So you got to put your all into that one character. You don't have to become that character, but on stage, you're Izzy or you're Nani or you're whoever. So, I mean, the whole play overall, it's amazing. Like, I've read this play, did so many different parts in this play for like a lot of years. Been in the smaller kids part, the older kids part, all of it. It's not even the comedy or the laughing, the giggling. It's really just the message. Like, for a human being, a black human being, to come up with that play and add that message, like, in under the lines, but you can still understand it.
So you mentioned a black individual came up with this, and you've been doing this for many years. So did Mr. Ricks actually write this, or...
Yes. So he actually performed the entire play a couple of years ago. I wish I was able to see the entire play. I hope that we're able to bring the entire play back. What you guys will see is actually just two scenes from the play.
Okay.
But it's actually a four-act play.
Oh, wow.
So there's, like she mentioned, there's a younger kid section and there's an older kid section.
Okay.
But throughout the play, like, all of the kids are like little troubled kids. Mm. Parents don't care. They're talking back to the teacher. There's even teacher conflict, but you guys won't see that because there is a black teacher in the play and there is a white teacher in the play.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we'll be able to bring the entire production to the stage so you can see it, because even the teachers have a little hissy fit with each other.
Okay.
Because the black teacher's like, you're white, you're never going to understand what these black kids go through.
Yes. And I was just speaking with an instructor in the city school district, and he goes above and beyond, right? So if somebody, you know, is coming to school and they need a change of clothes for whatever reason, like, he provides that for them. He'll wash the clothes, he'll provide the snacks.
Love teachers like that.
Yes. And A white administrator came, like, look, you know, Mr. Such and Such, you don't have to do all that. You really shouldn't do that. And he was like, you don't understand. These are black and brown children. They need me. If I don't take care of them, who will? And I think that, you know, we are kind of alluding to that. That's a conflict that happens throughout the country. And anytime you have, you know, people who come from different backgrounds, you're never going to fully understand, no matter how well-intentioned that you are, if you're not living in that situation, you're not going to understand. You're going to think, hey, that's not my kid, or I work with that kid till 3 o'clock at 3:45. I'm not thinking about them no more. But that can't be the case if we're really trying to help our children, especially if they're coming from homes where the parents aren't able or don't want to help.
And that's, I think, an issue that a lot of people don't understand. They don't understand the struggle in these households. They don't understand the struggle that these kids are going through. They think that these children are just acting out because they're acting out. But the real thing is they're living through a pandemic. They were isolated in the house for 2 years. So they have a lot of built up emotions that they need to be able to vent. And a lot of parents aren't able to listen, or they don't want to listen.
Mm-hmm.
So even myself, I have two children. You have to be able to listen. If you don't listen, you'll never understand, and you'll just think that they're acting out, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as the school district is concerned, a lot of the teachers feel like the children are acting out, but if they actually took the time to listen to the children, they'll know and they'll learn that there's a reason why they are acting the way that they are.
Yeah.
You just have to take the time and listen.
Sienna, I'm interested. What grade are you in now?
I'm in ninth grade.
So you were just getting into high school. So two of your middle school years were spent either remote or hybrid. Did you get a chance to go hybrid at all?
Yes.
Okay. And so what was that experience like for you, you know, as a seventh grader, not being able to go into school? This is a very important transition. You're going from being a tween to a teen. How did that impact you in your, you know, just growing up?
I feel like during when we were virtual, I didn't feel like myself, and I really didn't feel school was needed because we at home, we don't really have any communication unless it's on the phone, and we don't never see each other because everything was either shut down or we just couldn't see each other because of COVID, and it really affected me bad because I really just stayed in my room all day. I didn't really talk to my mom at all. I got really distant with everybody, so I just kept my feelings inside, and I didn't say anything. But when I started going to school and I started seeing a few of my friends, because not everybody was there because it was still COVID, and I didn't know the friends that I have now until actually now. And it was weird because when I was going into school and everybody was wearing a mask, you really didn't know who anybody was.
Yeah.
So it was really confusing and it was just hard. But throughout the whole thing, I was just happy that I was actually back in school than just being isolated in the house, not doing nothing, not talking to nobody, and not really being able to express myself.
Did you feel like did it take a while for you to be comfortable around other people? Like, I know my daughter, she had a bit of like anxiety about, you know, I don't know, they're kind of too close for me, like, get back. Or did you have any of that experience, either one of you?
I did a little bit, but not as much as I thought I was. I just really wanted to make sure I was safe, and I just wanted to make sure that, like, I wouldn't come home and bring something to the house, because a lot of people were passing away during that time, and right. A lot of people were getting super sick and they had to go to the hospital. So
right.
I just really wanted to make sure I was covered up and protected myself.
Right, yeah. Did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah. I was definitely one of them kids that, 6 feet kids, because when I had COVID during that time, and I was in my room, like, my mom, my sister, and I was in my room, like Sienna said, I, like, bottled up all my emotions and stuff. And it was a really hard time for me. Like, I was just there, and it was just, no, I didn't like it at all. I was crying. I was just really sad.
were you able to, like, pick up anything? Like, some people started listening to podcasts or started drawing, or did you find anything good out of that time that maybe you wouldn't have had you been, you know, running back and forth to school and practice and things like that?
Every show, movie on Netflix. That's all I did every day.
Yeah. Did you have something?
Yeah, it was TikTok and just listening to music, dancing in my room, just having my own comfort to myself.
Okay. Yeah.
Because sometimes I was sad, but then sometimes I was just like, you know what, you're at the house alone, and if you don't want to be on your phone and you don't want to talk to anybody, and it's just, have fun with yourself, because sometimes self-love and just self-comfort is the best comfort.
Yes. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh my gosh. Miss Allen, you brought such sweet girls up here today. I hope everyone has a chance to come out on Saturday. Where can we get tickets for the School to Prison Pipeline?
So tickets are available on Eventbrite. We also have tickets available at the door for purchase.
You can get tickets tonight until 8 o'clock at what address?
At 1801 East Main Street, right at East High School.
Yeah, that's it. All right, and that's where they can buy tickets. And how much are the tickets?
Adults are $15. We have youth for $10. And then we also have a VIP ticket, which is $30.
And what do you get with the VIP?
So with VIP, you get early admission. You get a shirt, which will have the same images that our children will be wearing. You get appetizers. You get a meet and greet with the youth performers. I couldn't even think of y'all. Yes, and you get priority seating up front.
That's amazing, because if you're listening to this right now, I'm telling you, you're going to want to meet the cast of the School to Prison Pipeline. Shake their hands, maybe give them a hug. We'll see how we feel about that. But either way it goes, you definitely want to show your appreciation. So if you get that VIP ticket, you will have an opportunity to have that meet and greet. But at the very least, get some tickets for other youth in your family. I mean, it can be an early Christmas present, right?
Yes.
And bring everyone out. What time does the play start Saturday?
Doors open at 6:30 for regular admission. The play begins at 7 o'clock. VIP early admission is at 5:30.
And for more information, you can call 719-5383. That's 719-5383, whether you want to purchase your tickets in person or you possibly just want to donate, because the proceeds do go to benefit the mentorship program. Is that right?
Yes, they do. And we take all donations. We just became a 501c3 program a couple of years ago. So we are like putting our blood, sweat, and tears into it, trying to keep the program running. Nice. Any way we can.
And will that phone number be good to contact the program even after this play is over?
Absolutely. That phone number will always be available. That is the best number to call when it comes to the program.
Nice, nice. Is there a website or a Facebook page that if somebody, even if I have a student who wants to get involved, or if I'm a mentor who wants to help out, is there a website for more information?
Yes, www.mibandg.org. And our Facebook page is Mentors Inspiring Boys and Girls.
Mentors Inspiring Boys and Girls. Miss Allen, Sienna, and Malia, thank you so, so much for stopping by WDKX today. I am so honored to be in your presence. You guys are amazing. And I believe the children are the future, and you guys will help us lead the way. Show us all the beauty you is. I know you're looking at me like
that. That's the song that we end the show on. So that is so funny. I'm like, did you know that?
I did not know that, but you guys just give that vibe. I'm getting all the Whitney vibes up in here.
Yes, is actually how we will end the show. We have a singer.
Oh, wow.
Who will sing Whitney Houston's song, and she is amazing.
Oh, that is so cool. Any last shout outs or anything that you guys want to share out with our audience today?
No, thank you.
Shout out all the cast members.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah. Y'all don't even want to shout us out as much as y'all stress us out.
You know what? Yes, yes, yes. Tanisha, I love you. Keisha, I love you. Mr. Ricks, I love you.
Anyways, forget that. Shout out to my mom.
So forget all that. Nice, yeah. Nice. What's your mom's name?
Chanel. And my dad's name is Travis. I'm not gonna put their last names out there, guys.
Okay. All right. All right. Sounds good. Well, that is it for the WDKX podcast edition. Be sure to come back. We will definitely have more interesting interviews for you to know even deeper what's going on in the community right here on the WDKX Podcast Network. I am your host, Jazzy T. Until next time, peace out.